Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to a very special MLS semi-final edition of Shoot the Defence. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me is none other than Soccerholics TV presenter, Harrison. Harrison, how are you doing, buddy?
Quite good. Quite excited for tonight's game.
Yeah, I can imagine, mate. Are the nerves settling in at the moment?
The nerves are there, but, you know, Toronto FC is just a better squad on paper, and it was proven throughout the league. In the MLS, it's a playoff system, so technically the league doesn't matter too much because, you know, there's about eight teams in the league that get to go to the playoffs, and anybody can win the playoffs, but we won the league quite easily this year and looking to get the crown. So it's really quite a good match, 0-0 heading into the second leg tonight, but, you know, I'm trusting in the Reds tonight. I think it's going to be a good match.
Well, I hope it is, mate. But tell me something. Did you expect Toronto to get this far? Because as an outsider who doesn't watch MLS on a regular basis, hands on heart, you know, I don't. But I know the teams like New York Red Bulls, New York City, you know, Seattle Sounders, even Chicago Fire had a fantastic season given the fact that the past couple of years they were bottom, weren't they? They were the worst team, but they've improved. So how difficult has it been for Toronto? And did you expect them to get this far?
Well, I know the past 2 years have been quite surreal as a Toronto FC fan. I've been a season ticket holder since the team's beginning in 2007. And basically, up until last season, we had been a joke in the league, always finishing near the bottom half. None of our signings clicked. None of our players really were able to, maybe it was getting used to the weather, getting used to the Toronto football culture. Whatever it was, things weren't working. And last season, it was a really interesting season. We didn't finish first in our division, but we managed to make it all the way to the Cup Final. And the Cup Final was hosted in Toronto, so we were able to host the final. And we took Seattle all the way to penalty kicks and lost right at the end. So we were so close to winning the league last year. And frankly, for someone in my position to be able to watch them throughout the playoffs and make it to the final, to be able to watch them play a league final at home was amazing. And this year, the boys, I think, came in with a bit of revenge on their mind. They really wanted to take the league, and they did it in quite some style. They actually set the record for most points in MLS history in the regular season this year. So, I mean, that would make Toronto FC the best team that MLS has ever seen. Actually, we set the record. So, going into the playoffs, the expectations were a lot higher this year than they were last year, and of course, a lot higher than they ever have been. Mm. Last year, we were sort of the hunters. Now we are the hunted, right? Now people are trying to take us off our perch. So I think looking at it from the perspective of a fan over these 12 seasons or 11 seasons, it's been amazing to be able to watch these guys go. It's really been fantastic.
Mm. And as everyone is probably aware by now, you know, you've got Sebastian Giovinco, but there's also players like Benoit Cheru and Victor Vazquez, who was at Club Brugge for a while, and even Jose Altidor that played in the Premier League. But let's talk about the head coach here, Greg Vanney, because, you know, he's been at the club for, what, 3-4 seasons? And to be fair, they've really stuck by him, haven't they?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Toronto, before Greg Vanney came into the picture and took over the club, Toronto was one of those clubs that would just sort of run through managers, you know, twice a season, or maybe if we're lucky, we get a manager for a full season. We were a club in shambles for about 9 years, and so Vanney comes into the picture, and he inherits a squad with Michael Bradley, U.S. team. U.S. national team legend with Jose Altidore as well. And they're able to sign Sebastian Giovinco. So Vanney not only was able to come in and bring in this winning mentality, but he also brought the players to do it. Mm-hmm. Toronto had dabbled in some big signings. You might remember Jermaine Defoe coming to the club for a year. And we also even got Julio Cesar, the Brazilian keeper, before the World Cup for about a half season loan. And so Toronto had gotten these players, but it was never really something that would stick. They would never really catch the way that Giovinco has and Altidore and Bradley have. And you mentioned Victor Vasquez. Well, Vasquez was actually a Barcelona product. He came through the youth system there at La Masia. So he, you know, that knowledge and that ability in the field is rare in MLS and incredibly valuable to the club. And I think, you know, as much as Giovinco brings the goals, Victor Vasquez is really, to me, the guy that'll secure the win for us if he's on. If he's on the club, the team is firing on all cylinders because he's that target man in the middle, and he can really play from anywhere. And you also mentioned Benoit Cheyrou. He scored a legendary goal for us last year in the playoffs to put us into the final. But other than that, he's been sort of a rotation player, more of a sub player.
Right.
But these players, I think, bring more in experience than they do with skill, especially MLS. The experience is so valuable when you're dealing with a bunch of young lads, like the young kids from America and Canada that don't know European football. You can bring somebody like Cheyrou, who's played for France, and you can bring somebody like Vasquez, who's come to Barcelona. That experience is so, so valuable to a club, and it's really shown this year.
Mm. Now, the thing is, I know Greg Vanney likes to play a bit of a 3-5-2, doesn't he? So, I've heard there's been a little bit of criticism on the fullbacks not getting forward enough. Is that right, or is that unfair?
The thing about our formation is that, yeah, we play with wing-backs. So, we have Justin Morrow and Stephen Betashore.
Mm-hmm.
These are both international footballers Betashore plays for Iran, and Morrow gets a few runs for the USA. Morrow is actually a fantastic goal scorer. He's one of those wing-backs that manages to just put the ball in the back of the net whenever we need him to. But Betashore, you know, he's all right. He does get up there, but it's not as much as Morrow. I think it's kind of... I would like to see them actually, you know, stay up the field a bit more, whereas on the rare occasion they make the run, like Morrow does. And when Morrow does make a run up the field, he ends up scoring, which is fantastic. But, yeah, you're correct in that... These guys, they aren't as tight-knit, and they don't play their formation as solidly as a lot of European clubs and as well as a lot of what your audience is probably used to.
Right, understood. So I know Josh Williams is coming back, isn't he? He made a name for himself at Toronto. Do you think he's got a few surprises in store for you guys, or is he going to justify your team's reasoning for letting him go?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult. It's really difficult to predict anybody's success in MLS because I've always seen the MLS as a sort of a different environment in football. I mean, players that succeed in other countries come here and they manage to flop, or, you know, vice versa. You know, they like Giovinco, really, they can't really get it going in Europe, and they come to MLS and they really succeed. So, you know, it's really difficult to predict anybody's future, but if you put any player in a squad that's got a hugely focused winning mentality like Toronto right now, I think that's just great for anybody. And I think any young player, even any player with experience who's played everywhere else, would love to get an opportunity in a squad like Toronto. Mm-hmm. So I think when he comes back, he'll do quite a good job.
Absolutely, and I know there's been a lot of media attention on this game because, as far as I'm aware, it's actually the biggest game out of the two and probably the biggest game of the season for the whole MLS. Now, I know that the game could go either way, and away goals is a crucial factor in this. Do you think that because of the away... I know, sorry, mate, I don't want to bring it up, but, you know, do you think that because of the away goals rule, the coach might change his system a bit, maybe go a little bit more defensive than usual?
You know, I thought about that, and I thought sort of how would Vanney play this strategically? Because, like you said, the away goal for Columbus, if they get an away goal early, it could be a problem for us. But because we have players like Giovinco and Jozy Altidore, I think that it's almost a safer bet to go attacking because the goal we have such a strong and solid goal threat that. Again, if we put up two goals in the first half, it's gonna be pretty much lights out, I believe, because we got our atmosphere at the stadium is gonna be fantastic, and the temperature is going to be rough on Columbus, I think. And in the first leg, we didn't even have Giovinco and Altidore. They weren't playing due to suspension.
Right.
And so we had basically no goal threat going forward. And nor did Columbus. And Columbus played their starting 11 that had gotten to the point they were at now. And they didn't really bother us too much. So, you know, Columbus, there's a possibility of them scoring. They've got a few good attackers up at the front, but it's really not going to be, I don't think it's going to be too difficult for us to put up a quick few goals and then lock it down. I think once we get, say, one or two goals in the first half, then you can probably drop those fullbacks back a little bit more and lock up shop.
Yeah. I think what you guys have on your side is experience. You've got big game players, you know, Altidore, Giovinco, Michael Bradley, players that have played at the top level. And when you compare it to the Columbus Crew players, I mean, with the greatest of respect to them, because they've done remarkably well this season. It's been a fantastic season, you know, and Ola Kamara has been on fire for them. But when you look at their squad compared to Toronto's, surely the experience, or you think the experience and the know-how on how to win these games will see them through.
Yeah, like I said before, I think that Columbus, it's difficult for a city like Columbus and a club like Columbus to attract bigger name players, you know, and that's the thing about Toronto that they've got going for them. They've got the Alvarez, like you said, the Bradleys, the Giovincos. I simply don't think players of that caliber would have signed for Columbus. The fan base isn't as large, you know, and it's one of those things where would you prefer to live? What's the bigger market, you know? And Toronto's a fantastic city, and when they're the winning team, the city really gets behind them. And so it's tough for a city like Columbus to compete. But like you said, they managed to get the best out of sort of a middle of the line MLS squad, and that's hugely commendable.
Mm.
Players like Ola Kamara, to find the form they did was fantastic for them, and they managed to get themselves to the conference finals, to the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. So it's going to be a good match. I'm just super, super excited to get out there. Having to figure out my strategy for dealing the cold, though. I think it's going to be probably around -4 Celsius. Probably going to feel like that.
Yeah.
So just going to be a bit of an issue, but.
True.
Football's football, and you got to get up for these sorts of games.
Absolutely. I mean, we were on the show last week, we were talking about CSKA Moscow that travelled 6,000 kilometres to play a game in -18. So, -18, as you guys will call it. But, yeah, it's crazy. But just one more little thing on the squad at the moment. We mentioned Vasquez earlier. He came out with a statement which, if I was a Toronto fan, I'd be a little bit funny about it, in the sense that, you know, he said that we've got the best squad in MLS and we will do it for sure. I mean, that's not counting your chickens, is it?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm always of the mindset that to win, you got to believe it first. And you know what, also, it's a great way to rally the fans. I think it's difficult to look at a squad like Toronto and say, The ball's not in their corner. I mean, their squad is just, I think, in terms of MLS, one of the best they've ever seen. We set the record for points, and yeah, I don't think it is. Vasquez might be trying to stir a little controversy there, but you just look at what they've been able to do throughout the season, and one just has to say to themselves, these guys are the favorites for sure, and the fans believe it, and certainly do the players, and I think the more the players believe it, the better they'll go out and play. Because, again, one of the first things to winning, I think, is believing you're going to do it. So you got to believe, then you got to execute, of course. But I kind of like that statement by Vasquez. I kind of like it. I think it'll set a tone and sort of really give the fans something extra if they're not up for it already, to really get it behind and make some noise tonight.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk quickly about Columbus Crew, because they've got this Save the Crew movement going on at the moment, which I don't know too much about, but I take it it's got something to do with a real estate group by any chance, I guess.
Yeah, so it's actually just the owner. And so there's a lot of noise about the team moving to Austin, Texas.
Right.
And one of the pieces of news that came out that was quite juicy, actually, was that it was revealed in the owner's contract of Columbus that there was a specific clause regarding moving the team to Austin. So when you and he became the owner in about 2013. So that definitely raises some questions. You know, it seems like almost as if it was written in the stars that he wanted to move a team to Austin no matter what. And so I think, of course, the fans should feel in Columbus should feel wrong done by. And I, you know, you hate to see a team just up and leave that's experiencing success right now. It's one of the things I really dislike about North American sport. Never would you ever see in Europe a football team, you know, just relocate. It's been done on a rare occasion. Wimbledon,
yeah,
is maybe one that I can, one that comes to mind. But it just doesn't happen, right? I mean, teams in Europe, solidified teams like that, they never relocate. But in the MLS and in other American sports, it happens quite often. In basketball, it's happened. In hockey, it happens. It really makes you feel for the people. And so what's been interesting about the Save the Crew movement is sort of one of those hashtags that's caught on throughout America, and clearly made its way across the pond as well. But you've seen sort of fans from other clubs bring Save the Crew flags to the games and really kind of showing their support, because it's difficult not to feel for these guys. Their team is, again, it's on paper, it's a mediocre squad, but they put up numbers that show that they're worthy of where they are now. Mm. And for them to just have to leave, they're one of the oldest clubs in the MLS, if not the oldest, I believe, as well. So it's one of those things, you just make you feel for that entire fan base. And, you know, I'm a Toronto FC fan, so it's part of me says this could be their last game in MLS. But again, if it is, then Toronto succeeds. So it's sort of a tough way to look at it. But it's Save the Crew has been kind of a weird thing, unexpected, but unfortunate as well.
Yeah, I think you know, as I said before, that your players have got the experience, the big game knowledge. And I think something like this off the field will affect a lot of footballers. I've spoken to ex-pros before, and they've told me that, you know, things that go on behind the scenes, even though players don't like to become embroiled in it, they can't help but, because they're worried about their future. They don't know where they're going to be. You know, to be fair to a lot of these MLS players Columbus Crew, if the club decides to move, then a lot of them probably thinking, well, where am I going to be next? You know, what have they got to play for now? You know, the only thing I guess they've got to play for now is for a contract that either this club or somewhere else. So they might raise their game for this one, but you know, it's in Toronto, as you said. The weather isn't going to be pretty for them, and it's a big pressure. So it'll be a very, very interesting game.
For sure. Yeah, it's gonna be one of the special nights in this club's history, I hope.
Absolutely. So, do you want to give a prediction?
Sorry?
Do you want to give a prediction?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be about a 3-1 victory for Toronto.
Okay.
I see probably two goals coming in the first half, and then Columbus might nick one, and then I think we'll just close the door with a quick goal near the end of the game.
Okay, and who are you going to play in the final?
In the final, it's going to be Seattle. They ran up a huge score in the first leg of their matchup, and it looks like it'll be another rematch of last year. Seattle versus Toronto at home.
That's right, Clint Dempsey. I think we know him. We've heard of him.
Yeah.
For sure. Brilliant. Well, mate, before I let you go, tell us a bit about your YouTube channel.
Totally. Yeah. So I'm working with Soccerologs TV right now. I didn't start the channel, but I've been a part of it for a few months now. And what we do, we're based out of Toronto. We try to capture the fan culture and the fan experience of footballers all over the city. Everybody knows Toronto's a multicultural city, and we have people from all over the world. And the support for Premier League football here is absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. So if you check out our channel, you'll see that we kind of go around the city to different supporters' bars and try to capture and interview the fans there and get their opinions on the team. Recently, we were just at Scallywags Pub, which is the Liverpool supporters bar for Liverpool-Chelsea. That's one of the most recent videos up there as well. And on Saturday, we're going to be covering Man United versus Arsenal, which is going to be great. And we're going to have two guys on the channel at the Arsenal supporters bar, and myself and another lad from the channel are going to be at the Man United supporters bar. So that's kind of what we do here, and what we're trying to do is also bring a Toronto FC angle to the channel,
yeah,
and sort of promote the club as much as we do promote the Premier League and world football.
That's great. That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, Harrison, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Shoot the Defence, mate. I hope you can come back on at some point. Hopefully, we'll be talking before the final, even after, if Toronto win it.
100%. I'd love to recap the game when it's done, or even give a preview to the final.
Great stuff. And how can we get in touch with you? Are you on Twitter or any form of social media?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Harry_Faulkner.
Okay.
That's just HarryFaulkner. And on YouTube, Soccerhogs TV, that's the channel I'm on. And yeah, that's basically me. Also, I'm on Facebook, of course, with Classy Man. Yeah, and also LinkedIn as well, Harrison Faulkner.
Fantastic. Well, guys, that's it from us this week. It's been an absolutely fantastic show with Harrison, and I'm looking forward to talking to him again. Until next time, take care.